Good afternoon. I'm Linda Dow. To help us celebrate Canada Day, I've invited the very colorful Linda Sekaspina to join us. She's a woman of many talents and the wearer of many hats, quite literally. Linda is an eclectic mix of fun and fashion, politics and storytelling, with a passion for historic things. She even claims to be born around the time the wheel was invented. Welcome, Linda. Nice to have you join us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
So give us a little bit about your background and what led to your love of history, particularly Lanark County history.
Well, my first inkling, I was always involved in history. My father was a councillor in Council Quebec, and they were getting ready when I was 14 to destroy four, or was it maybe even six, heritage houses on the main street. And I was quite upset about that. And he didn't know that I was going to that meeting. And of course, his young daughter showed up and read them the riot act about why they shouldn't be destroying these houses. Of course, the houses came down. And that was the start of the relationship between my father and I, disagreeing with everything. And when I came to Lanark County, I don't know, it just felt like I belonged here. There's a very, very cute ghost story about this house and me. And I always thought I always belonged here. So maybe in another life I was born in Lanark County, but history is everything to me. And it's also for the children and the grandchildren out there, those kids that maybe one day they'll pick up whatever media device they have and go, well, that's interesting. Let me read more about the history of Carleton Place or Lanark or Perth, and, you know, and then tell it to somebody else. And unfortunately, our storytellers are getting elderly and we're losing them. So if you know one, sit down with them and talk to them and pass their stories along, and even send them to me and I'll record them too.
Okay, because you are a storyteller.
Yes, I didn't know I was
elderly.
A storyteller.
You're not elderly, but you are a storyteller and a good one. So this has probably led you to become part of the Historical Society, right, in Carleton Place.
Yes. In 1981, when I moved here, I'm still a newcomer now. I'm still not a regular person of Carleton Place. I'm a newcomer. My grandchildren belong to Carleton Place. I joined the Carleton Place Historical Society. You had Mr. Paul on here from Mount Blow Farm. You had John Edwards, who was on the council in Almont in those days. You had Jeannie and Nick Manling and Mr. Bremer, and the list went on. And every month we would jam, and I mean jam, one of the rooms at the Carleton Place Library. There was probably 50 people at each meeting, and now it's just so hard to get people to get interested in it.
Now, Canada is 153 years old today. What does Canada Day mean to you?
I am Canadian. I lived in the Bay Area for about 15 years, and I was still Canadian. I'm proud to be Canadian because we represent, as I say, you know, I mean, we have a story to tell. I always have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. And we spread what we love about Canada Day and Canada. And I always celebrated as a child, and I still celebrate it. I have many red hats I can wear on that day. But it's just a time to be proud.
You've written six books. What are some of the titles of those books, and where can we find them?
Okay, six books. Yeah, I started writing books. And as you know, word is free these days. So I mostly write online, where I have about 6,000 blogs and stories about Lanark County. But the first book I wrote was Menopausal Woman from the Corn. And I shot the picture out on the Appleton Side Road, and all the stories are about my grandmother, because my grandmother raised me. My mother died when I was young, and my dad was busy with his town work and his business. So it's everything I enjoyed with Mary Louise Deller Knight. And we used to call her Mary Deller Moore after Mary Deller Moore.
You're also a counselor in Carleton Place, and you have been for 4 years. Why an interest in politics?
I was never going to run for politics because I had a bad upbringing with politics. My dad was gone all the time. And in those days, you didn't have email and the phone rang all the time. And I said I would never, ever get involved in town politics. And one morning there was things going on with the last council that I was not happy with it. And I got up and I said, that's it, I'm running. But I don't run for me. I didn't run for me. I run for my community because I want my community to have a voice. And I complain a lot and I bitch, as they say, but you know, I have to do it for my community. I listen to my community because that's why I do it, because God only knows I have many other things I could do.
And you are a member also of the Lanark County Genealogical Society. How important is it to you to search your roots personally?
I've done all my roots. We have a very small family. My great-great-grandmother was a lady-in-waiting to Queen Victoria, but as I tell the story, she had many loose skirts. And you have to really think about those words, loose skirts, because she got evicted from the royal court, but she ended up marrying well. She married the owner of the Nestle Pudding Company that imported the milk for all the pudding. So I say, you know, it's pudding that made our family. But I have a lot of interesting people, but as I always say, there's only one barrister in the family, but all the other ones were ragamuffins and pirates. So there you go.
Kind of gives a different meaning to the proof is in the pudding, maybe.
Well, yeah, exactly. And as I said, I have AB positive blood. And my gynecologist told me one day, only the wackos and the weird royal courts had that blood. So she said I inherited it very nicely.
What are some of the, you're a blogger. What are some of the interesting stories you tell? It's been said that you bring humor to real life situations. And I'm wondering, is there a special audience that you target when you're blogging? And what kinds of things do you write about?
I write mostly about Lanark County, and I do a lot of Ottawa history too, because I was given about 300 books from a Mr. and Mrs. Simpson when he passed away. So I concentrate on those areas, but really there's nothing that I don't untouch. I want interesting history. I don't want the regular history that you learn in school. I want things about the people that lived here. And because it's the people that made up these towns and villages, it's not the politicians. So I concentrate on people. And the more interesting story, the better.
And you spoke last night, too, at a meeting.
Yes, right? For the Lanark Preservation Society. There you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you wore one of your famous hats.
That was a very simple hat because I didn't want to scare people, because a lot of people in Lanark Village don't know me. In Carlton Place, they all know me. But, you know, you got to ease in slowly in different societies so they don't get scared of you, right?
So my introduction describing you as very colorful was really on the mark, would you say?
Well, not really. I found that kind of funny because I've been called the Mother Teresa of punk rock. And that was in Ottawa when I had my store, because I helped a lot of kids on the street, on Rideau Street, that were homeless and things like that. They used to come into my store and we'd chat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like Lucy with the 5-cent sign out in front of her. So when I closed, the Ottawa Citizen called me the Mother Teresa punk rock, and Express Magazine called me the Maiden of Death because I wear black a lot. So,
oh goodness. Now, your story, you were a fashion designer, right? You studied fashion design when you were young, mm-hmm. and that led you to opening the store on Rideau Street back when?
1976. I opened the store on the second level of 174th Street called Flash Cadillac. And I had the store up there for 10 years until my late husband bought the building. And then we moved downstairs on the main floor. So in those 10 years, I had to get people to come walk up 27 stairs up to the second floor, not knowing what was up there.
Oh, goodness sakes. And they were happy when they got there, with whatever they found, right?
I was one of the first people that carried hair coloring, body piercings, straight leg jeans, corsets, nylons before anybody did it.
That's amazing. And I really like the story that you helped a lot of the street kids too, eh? On Rideau Street.
Yeah, that was when I had my second store, Savannah DeVille's, and it closed in 1997. I had that for about 3 years. I had a lot of youth come into my store, and you know, they were on the streets, they were by themselves. And when I was 16, I lived on the street in Montreal, and I spent a lot of time in metro stations and things like that. So I knew how it was. So I would have a jar on the counter, and they could borrow money for whatever they needed, whether it be bus, you know, bus fare or food or whatever. And then they had to replace it. And I also had a lot of parents that used to call me to see if their kids were okay. And so it became more than a store. It was a drop-in center too.
Right. So you were really ahead of your time. I mean, with all the youth centers and things we have now for kids, you had sort of started a, kind of a youth center back then in the 70s, right, on Rideau Street.
Well, this was mostly during the 90s that I did It was the Rideau Street Youth Initiative that was behind there, but they would come to my store and talk to me because I wasn't judging them. We had gay kids, we had trans kids, we had, you know, kids that were like me when I grew up that were different. And I knew how it was to be a kid that was different, so I could talk to them. But in the 70s, when I opened the store, it was for the gay people that had never had a place to shop before. And they adopted my store.
And you were in the area where Le Chateau was on Rideau Street. I remember
Rideau and Delphi.
I remember your store.
Actually. Yeah, the one with the weird mannequins in the middle.
Right. The store that brought people in. You're a sought-after speaker as well. Correct. You spoke last night.
Yes. I've spoken many times. Mm-hmm. I've emceed for fashion shows and that. I just like people. How's that for my answer? And I love blending in with people. That's my main thing. If I didn't have people, I would wallow away like a plant that needed water.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. And what are some of the topics do you really choose to speak about? Heritage things like you did last night?
Yeah, 99% of the time it's about heritage because that's what's important to me. And the reason I inject humor in it is I want people to laugh and smile. And then when you tell them that story, they will remember it. It's not like reading an historical book and you get just, you know, the generic stuff there. I want them to really remember it so they can tell somebody else and that person can tell somebody else also.
Humor is pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've even had a pickled cranberry pie recipe go viral.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, somebody in Arizona radio, it was a TV station in Arizona last year, picked up this blog I did for a pickled cranberry pie because I thought it was so unordinary. And it was the second time I've had something go viral, but I think in 2 days, I had probably close to over 500,000 hits just on that one story.
Incredible. So you also have a story for us, do you, from childhood?
Canada Day.
About Canada Day.
Yes.
Would you like to share that with us?
Yes. My grandmother, she lived in Council, Quebec, and she was American. She was born in Laconia, New Hampshire. But she refused to celebrate Canada Day, being the good American that she was. So on Canada Day, she would haul out all her Canadian pillows, her American pillows, you name it. She'd have the whole US of A on her porch. And my dad and my grandparents, who were British, just couldn't believe what was going on. So we'd go down to Smuggler's Notch in Vermont, and we'd go and we'd see all sorts of things there. And my dad would grumble all the time about having to go down here. But he'd only lighten up when we stopped at the A&P store and we got his Wise potato chips, a pack of Winston cigarettes, and an A&P Spanish bar cake. You remember those? 29 cents. And so he was really thrilled. And anyway, I had a great grandmother that was a great aunt, I believe. Yeah, great aunt. And on the way home, someone would always point out the location where she used to live. And the same story would be told year after year after year, how she fought off the Fenians with a fork and a spoon in her door as a lock while the American Irish were trying to take over Canada during the Fenian raids. And knowing my mother's side of the family, that woman probably invited them in to play cards and have a few pints. But you know what? I remember that story just like, and that's why I say humor sells the story.
That's a good story. Thank you for that, Linda.
Oh, you're welcome.
So where can we find some of your writings?
All my blogs, almost 7,000 are on WordPress.com. You just have to type my name in with WordPress. And my books are available on Amazon.
Okay. And you're on Facebook as well, and you have a website?
Oh, yeah. You can find me all the time on Facebook.
You're all over the place, Linda.
Well, no, every day I have the Tales of Carlton Place and the Tales of Almont, and I also post in Lanark Village Community Group too. Every day there's new postings about stories or photos or all sorts of things.
That's incredible. So you're writing every day?
Oh, every day. Research every day. I probably spend about 6 hours every day researching, writing, and posting. And I've done this now for 9 years.
That's incredible. You're very dedicated.
You have no idea. I feel guilty because if I don't post something and I have a meeting, I will get messages from people saying, "Are you sick? Did you die?" And I say, "No, no, I'm coming. I'm coming. Just give me a break here." So consequently, when I have Carlton Place Chamber of Commerce breakfasts or meetings, I'm up at the crack of dawn, 6:30, posting so nobody will have a heart attack during that day wondering where I am.
You're amazing.
Or I am crazy.
I am so glad you joined us today.
Thank you.
It's been really nice to have you for Canada Day.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And happy Canada Day out there in Lanark County and Frontenac, Leeds, and all over the place. And wave that Canadian flag proudly. I'm smiling because you're doing it.
Oh, Linda, you're great. Now, I want you to spell your last name for us.
S is in Sam. Mm-hmm. E-C-C-A-S. P is in Peter. I-N-A. Do you know how many times I've spelt that out?
Okay, but I want our listeners to be able to find your writings and find you.
Well, thank you. And unfortunately, my first oldest boy's name is Skylar, and I spelled it S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-U-R after Skylar Whitney on The Edge of Night, the old soap opera. And when he was in grade one, he goes, "Mom, am I ever going to spell your name?" And I said, "Son, you're going to be a great speller."
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Happy Canada Day.
You're very welcome. Hope to have you on again sometime.
Okay, thank you.
And have a great Canada Day yourself.
I will.
My guest, Linda Sekaspina, is an author, a blogger, a politician, and a historian. And I have to add, a very, very colorful and dedicated person. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and happy Canada Day.